the Public News Service Daily Newscast for May the 26th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. Environmental groups are decrying a U.S. Supreme Court decision they say will have major impacts for how the Clean Water Act is implemented. Our Eric Tegenhoff has the details.
The justices ruled 5-4 in favor of narrowing the scope of federal protections so they no longer apply to wetlands in most circumstances. Jeanette Bremer is a senior attorney at the Earth Justice Seattle office. She says the decision guts wetland protections under the Clean Water Act.
That basically handed a victory to industry like the mining industry, developers, Big Ag, that they have been pushing for years, and pretty much undid 50 years worth of clean water protections for those water bodies.
Bremer says it could affect up to 90 million acres of wetlands across the country. Justices sided with an Idaho couple, the Sacketts, who sued the Environmental Protection Agency after the couple was denied a federal permit to build their home. In the majority opinion, Justice Samuel Alito wrote that the Clean Water Act protections only extend to wetlands indistinguishable from larger bodies of water.
And the founder of the far-right Oath Keepers has been sentenced to 18 years in federal prison in connection with the January 6 attack on the Capitol, following his conviction on seditious conspiracy. That from NBC News. They report the sentence for Rhodes is the longest imposed on a January 6 defendant to date. In a politically charged speech in the courtroom just before sentencing, he called himself a political prisoner. NBC notes the judge disagreed with Rhodes. "You, sir," the judge said, "present an ongoing threat and a peril to this country and to the republic and to the very fabric of our democracy." One House of Congress has already voted to rescind President Joe Biden's student relief plan, but a new report highlights the need for federal student debt relief.
The American Federation of Teachers report finds rising education costs have forced people to borrow over $1.7 trillion to attend college. This comes as the U.S. House of Representatives passed a joint resolution of disapproval under the Congressional Review Act to overturn President Joe Biden's student debt relief program. The bill now heads to the Senate. But Mike Pierce with the Student Borrower Protection Center describes how the CRA's plan disrupts student debt cancellation for public service workers.
The student debt CRA scheme would reinstate the student loan debt of more than 260,000 public service workers nationwide, drop a nearly $20 billion debt burden onto the backs of these hardworking teachers, nurses, first responders, and service members still emerging from the pandemic.
The Education Data Initiative finds about 11% of student borrowers default on their education loans in the first year of repayment. Another 25% default in the first 5 years. This is Public News Service. Now to Minnesota, where lawmakers adopted a lot of major policies in this year's session, including actions to support workers in many different fields.
A new statewide paid leave program is among the highlights as Democrats push through a range of proposals with their majorities. The Minnesota Association of Professional Employees, which represents 15,000 state workers, was a key supporter of the paid leave plan. May President Megan Dayton says there were other victories, too. Collectively, she feels they'll establish a new era for the state's workforce.
It's a historic investment. It's also a breath of fresh air with programs and policies that, in my opinion, echo the spirit of FDR's New Deal.
MAPE says pension changes are a big win for its members, including a one-time 2.5% cost of living adjustment for retirees. Advocates were also able to secure back pay for state workers in the event of a future government shutdown. Republicans and some business groups have criticized some of the plans, namely the paid leave program, set to begin in 2026. I'm Mike Moen.
And our Daniel Smith reports a new master plan for older adults is being developed in Pennsylvania. On Thursday, the governor there, Josh Shapiro, signed an executive order directing the Pennsylvania Department of Aging to develop the plan.
The Keystone State is home to almost 3.5 million people over age 60. The current state plan on aging ends next year. Secretary of Aging Jason Kovolich says the new plan will be an updated roadmap so older Pennsylvanians can live safely and with dignity, helping them age in place in their homes.
We can't do this without them, and this is really for them. They're empowering us to help shape this plan and make sure that it becomes a reality. This is a living document that will live with us the next 10 years, and it requires all of us to give input to so that we can feel ownership.
The department hopes to finalize the plan by February of next year. Finally, Edwin J. Vieira lets us know, as the opioid epidemic continues, a Virginia group is working to keep people safe.
The Virginia Harm Reduction Coalition has been working to provide residents in Northern Virginia with training on how to use Narcan, a drug that slows and can reverse opioid overdose. Data from the Commonwealth Fund finds between 2021 and 2022, opioid deaths declined, but they were still above pre-pandemic levels. While the group is working to prevent more opioid deaths, Danny Clausen with the Virginia Harm Reduction Coalition says new drugs like xylazine can be difficult to tackle.
The issue with xylazine is that it does not respond to the overdose reversal drug Narcan because it's not an opioid. Fentanyl and carfentanil and all these other things that people talk about, those are opioids, and Narcan works on the opioid receptor.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.